Good morning, dear people. Praise the Lord. This is a reading from Colossians 3, 1 to 4. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Thanks be to God. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Now, that's if you liked that song, it goes for about 7 minutes, but it felt like too much of a risk to sit through 7 minutes, so you got 2 minutes. But that's what the talk today is about, on full communion. I'm not sure if you picked up some of those words, but you know, I was made by you. I was made for you, and I'm unfulfilled without full communion with you, God. That's what we're gonna talk about this morning. Let's dive right in, because I think I could be quite verbose at times. So let's just dive right in. You know, I've noticed that often I'm in a funk. Don't even realize I'm in a funk, and then it's like, what's going on? What's wrong? And often it's, you don't have enough God. Like, that's your issue. You need more. You got Skerrix, and of course things are going, pear-shaped for you. Or, I think, the reason I'm unhappy right now is because I don't have that. I need that, or if this all comes into line, then life will be right. And in experience, I'm sure you'll relate to this, nothing changes. You don't actually get what you want. Your heart rediscovers God and starts beating for God again, and you're happy. And so all that time, no, it wasn't that thing. It was, the issue was, you didn't have enough God. Your heart was elsewhere. And we are unfulfilled without being close to him and full of him and all about him. Our hearts are meant to be passionate about him. Our minds are meant to be focused on him. And our bodies are meant to serve him. He's not meant to have 10% of your heart. He's meant to have your whole heart. He's not meant to have 70% of your life. He's meant to have 100% of your life. And, wow, we're all on a journey, aren't we? But money's not meant to have a hold on you. I'm not meant to be attached to clothes and possessions and temporary things. I'm not meant to be ruled by my ambitions and my dreams and what I want. And that thought, I'll be happy, I'll be fulfilled, I'll be okay once ... happens, it's a lie. It's a big mirage. And it's a trap as well. I was made by you. I was made for you, and I'm unfulfilled without full communion. Harry read that so beautifully for us this morning. Since you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. I think that's just it puts a smile on my face. When Christ, who is your life, it's just like he is your life. Paul Washer said, if you have Jesus, you have everything. If you do not have Jesus, you have nothing. And that's a good little test for us, isn't it? Like if I was without Jesus, would it make much of a difference to me? Or would it not matter? And, you know, how much does he mean to me? We're made for full communion with him in eternity, but starting now, today, and every day. I've also been thinking that full communion with God requires relating to him according to who he actually is, right? And, you know, I speak for myself. I often treat him so out of line. Like, it's so out of order, the way I talk to him, the way I see him, the way I treat him. It's just out of order. It's so wrong. And I think part of the challenge is that he's the lion and the lamb. There's sort of multiple things about God, and sometimes we forget bits and pieces, and we cut certain aspects of him out and then just relate to him in one particular way, forgetting all of who he is. And so we need to know him fully to relate to him fully and properly. Again, that's a bit of a journey, isn't it? But we want that. We want to go on that journey if we want full communion. So what I'm sharing this morning is a list of, reminders to myself about who God is not and how I shouldn't treat him, and a bit on who he is and how I should be relating to him. And hopefully, you know, some of it you might relate to. I do need to warn you, I think a good talk is meant to be like a, you know, nice, tidy, Western three-course meal. And I got to apologize. Today we're going to Yum Cha. There's going to be a lot of verses, a lot of trolleys coming out, lots of small plates. And you don't have to eat it all. You don't have to like it all. If you can take something, that would be good. Hopefully it's not all chicken's feet. And there's some dumplings for you. So, again, let's dive right in and try and rip through this. So, the first trolley. God is not my vending machine. And I treat him like that. I go up and I say, I want Snickers. And I press E4. And if nothing comes out, I throw a tantrum. And if something else comes out, I throw a tantrum. I can be really ungrateful and really untrusting. And that'd be normal for me when it's not normal. Because he's not a vending machine. He's a good father. And little kids, you know, how often do they say, I want this, I want it again, I want to eat it again now. And it's like, no, you can't, because I'm levels above you. He's levels above us, and he is a good father. And in the worst of times, he's with us in our suffering, and he's preparing heaven for us. Yes, Sammy, hello. Revelation 21, this is where we're heading. God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Hallelujah. Everything you dream of, it's coming for you. Your deepest hopes, All of your longings will be satisfied. It's coming. And that's why Jesus says in John 14, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms or dwelling places. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. We need to hold on to this. Even now, okay, we're not there yet. We live in a pretty broken world, but he's working it all out for your good. Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. Don't you think it's funny how we read that and we're like, oh yeah, I get it. So all the good things, God's working for the good. All of the good things, that's what he works for good. It's like, no, all things, every little weakness, temptation, trial, failure, abuse, whatever it is, he's working it all for good. James chapter 1, 17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He's a good father. Sometimes I feel like life is like poker, and you get dealt your cards and you look at them and you're like, who dealt me these cards? These are terrible. And you're like thinking about what other people's cards are. But the worst cards, when you look at them, can win the round. Do you know that about poker? Like, even the ones that you think are bad can win the round. And a good poker player actually wins regardless of their cards. They don't get dealt their cards and just spend the whole game thinking, oh, I got these cards. You know, I give up. God gives you your cards and he says, trust me with these cards. Just trust me with them. And I want you to play them as best as you can, and you will win, and I've got a massive prize for you. We've got to stay grateful and stay in the game. This is from Erwin McManus. Everything in life doesn't go your way, but how you engage in things that do not go your way actually are the best measure of your character. It's not the things that go your way. When things are going your way, of course you're going to be grateful, but you may not actually be grateful. You may be entitled. I thought that was amazing. You know, you're like, oh, I'm grateful. Thank you, God. And it's like, no, I thank you when it goes my way. I'm entitled. I expect it to go my way instead of actually having a heart that is grateful. God is not a vending machine. He's a good father. And there's something so healthy about having a heart that says, I trust you, Dad. I'm grateful to you for every little thing. And I trust you. You are working all things for my good. All right, that was a loaded trolley. Let's get through the next one quicker. God is not a protein bar. Sometimes I can see God like a performance enhancer, like, God, make me strong and capable and muscly so that I can then go away from you and do it all on my own and then flex in the mirror and feel amazing about myself and what I can do. But Jesus says in John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. It's a lie that we can do it on our own. It's just a lie. It's facts. And the reason I think God's so into us staying on, depending on him, is because he wants us to know who we are and who he is. You know, an orphan, they have to fight for themselves, and they're a nobody, and they have to prove something. Whereas God wants you to know, hey, you're actually my son, you're actually my daughter, and I actually care for you. And you don't have to prove anything to anyone because you are somebody. I made you somebody. You're part of my family. That's why he's so into us trusting. I recently heard Bill Johnson say, how much is too much money to have? A little chuckle from the front row from Pete. He says it's not actually about the dollar value or whatever. He says it's actually, it's too much money when you stop trusting God. That's the biggest issue. And that could be $10 for one person and $10 billion for someone else. But we need to live in this every day. I depend on you, God. Even just getting out of bed, wow, it's because of you that I am up again. What a miracle. I am a living, walking miracle. I needed your help for every breath, and you're going to keep on helping me with what I'm going to do today. Hey, Sammy, how are you? You want to go home? It's boring. Yeah. Well, I haven't pitched the talk well enough. Needs to speak to a two-year-old. Yeah, I will draw from you, you know, for everything that I need to then worship you and not myself, not my own lifting ability, my own muscles, my own physique. Philippians 2. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit or pride, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Okay. Next, God is not my yes man. You want to think of a yes man? They're like part of an entourage around like a rapper or a boxer. And that you know, big person is the man. And they're sort of just, you know, part of the crew. And they never speak up. They never correct or challenge the big dog. They just say, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, whatever, man. Yeah, you're right. And God is not my yes man. Sometimes I think he is. But if I become a law unto myself and think I can believe what I want, do what I want, it's dangerous territory. I can't say that strongly enough. It's so, like one step in one direction, if you keep taking 1,000 steps in that direction, it leads somewhere and it leads away from God. And I can say, yeah, God's saying yes. It doesn't matter if I think he's saying yes. He's not necessarily saying yes or going along with my stuff. He's not my yes man. And that's because I'm not morality. I'm not wisdom. I'm not goodness and righteousness. He's all of those things. And his thoughts are higher than ours. Isaiah 55, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. In Luke 21, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. In 1 Peter 1, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. We're going to pray really quickly. Lord, we pray your mercy. We have blind spots. There are things that we say are fine that are not fine. There are things that we think are normal. They're not normal. And we're just used to that. And we tolerate evil and sin. And thank you that you are so patient that you love us. And sometimes you just let things go on for years before you ever address it because you just love us. And you're okay to journey with us, and we're so grateful for that. And at the same time, we want to love you more and love you better. And we pray that you would bring conviction where we need it. You'd open our eyes. You'd bring purity and repentance, which, yeah, leads to joy and closeness to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you're doing well. God is not my little lamb. Who had a little lamb? Mary, correct. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. I don't know about you, but I'm often like, Lord, this is where we're going. So follow me. Let's go. We're meant to follow him. Like, where are we going? Oh, okay, that's where we're going. Luke 9. If anyone would come after me, they must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. I read this book called Dream Big by Bob Goff, and it was so inspiring to follow God more wholeheartedly. I think I've probably felt like, you know, missionaries who go to Africa, they're following God. You know, they let go of their life here or even possessions here. They moved. They took a risk. And they gave it their all to follow the call of God in their lives. I'm like, wow, they really did it. They actually followed. And then I think you're either going to Africa or you're living in Melbourne, going to cafes and playing it safe. They're the two options. And no, you can be in Melbourne and go to cafes, but just don't play it safe. You should be following Jesus in what he's asking you to do. I don't know what that is for you. It'll be different from what it is for me or for other people here. But the point is, you should be letting go of things. You should be moving. You should be taking a risk. You should be giving it your all. You should live dangerously in Melbourne. With whatever that looks like for you. I don't know. It doesn't have to be dramatic, but you should be able to say, I'm following Jesus. I know what he's asking me to do, and I'm doing it. I'm actually aligning my finances, my time, my energy to do that. There's proof of that. Jesus is saying, I'm here. Come on. I'm asking you to go on this adventure with me. And if we don't go, we miss out on a certain closeness to him. Sometimes our relationship is requiring that we go on that journey with him and not just stay put. Last trolley, God is not my business partner. Your relationship with God shouldn't look like endless business meetings to talk about business. And all you do is build the business and build the business. And I'll see you in the office on Monday, Lord, for our business meeting where I read your word and I pray and it's boring and I just do business with you. Revelation 2, Jesus speaks to this church in Ephesus, a group of people. He says, I know your deeds, your hard work and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people. That you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. That's sort of mind-boggling, isn't it? Like, these guys have done good, not evil, and Jesus is saying, yep, you've worked hard for me, you've suffered, you haven't grown tired, and yet he says, you're messed up because you've lost your love for me. You don't love me like you used to. there was a time you were passionate about me. You're not anymore. You've got lazy in our marriage. You're not there anymore. It's convicting, isn't it? And this is the reality. Our final destination is not an eternity-long business conference. It's a wedding. It's a wedding where we as the church are married to Jesus. It's a mystery, isn't it? Like, what? And sometimes, when you know, if I talk to Leslie, she talks like God's in love with her and she's in love with God. And it's like, what are you talking about? But that's maturity, to know, to be in love with God. That is the point. David Hardy, you know, here's this man who, when he sings spontaneously, I've heard him in worship, he sings, I love you, Jesus, and he's in love with Jesus, and he's this man. But that's what it is to know God, because that's how he is with us. We went to a wedding even just yesterday, actually. It was Joshua and Kayla's wedding. And Joshua was pinging with excitement. He was flushed. He was crying. You name it, as Kayla walked down the aisle to him. It wasn't an arranged marriage, I can tell you that. And I can tell you he's not marrying Kayla because of her assets or because of, you know, what she is on paper. He's in love with her. He went out of his way to say, I really want to spend every day of my life with you. You don't do that with anyone. And that's what Jesus has done with us. And the sad thing is that you don't want to be married and in the same house and be apart on a heart level. And so maybe some of us, you know, we've never known that Jesus is the lover of your soul, basically. You've never known he's really into you, really loves you. There's this song by Jeremy Riddle. It talks about the love of God. It says, your love is deep, your love is wide, and it covers us. Your love is fierce, your love is strong, it's furious. Your love is sweet, and it's wild, and it's all of these things. When you're being tempted, you know, Jesus is saying, I love you, I love you. When you are sinning in the act while he's watching you do it, he's saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. He doesn't stop. He is perfect love. Earlier in this week, okay, we're going there. I'm going to finish with an egg tart. Sweet, eggy. You might find this disgusting. But earlier in the week, you know, I said goodnight to Sammy and he went to sleep. I said goodnight to Tessa and I said, wow, I said, Tessa, we've been together nearly 10 years. We've been married nearly 7 years. And I was like, and I still love you. I'm still in love with you. I was like, wow. And then I said, you can't stop loving me and you can't stop being in love with me. I don't know if I was quite tired and emotional, or that's just, yeah, whatever. The point is, I don't want to just be in the same house, or just be busy with children or church or something. And Jesus doesn't want that with us. He doesn't want us to lose the, hey, it's you. It's me. We're together. I'm all about you. I'm passionate about you. I love you. And We want that. We want to respond. We want to respond. In some ways, it's all tied up in like being married, isn't it? We wanna live in a way that pleases Him, because we're in a love relationship, and that's the beautiful thing. Amen. So let's pray. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you're the lover of our souls. And we forget all the time, like all the time, we're too busy for you, we're too distracted, our hearts wander off and start craving something else. And our prayer today, thank you that we can pray together, in agreement, in your name. Jesus, we pray that you would take a hold of our hearts again. We pray that you'd kindle that first love for anyone here who hasn't known that you really, really, really love them. And for those of us who've been distracted or become hardened or become torn in too many directions or who've been unfaithful, Jesus, we pray that you'd love us back to yourself. Draw us back, Jesus. Thank you that you are the author and you are the perfecter of our faith. And we can be confident in that. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for this day. We pray even today that we might have a tiny window of just being with you, not having a business meeting, but being with you. That today we'd be able to be grateful, that we'd be able to receive the love you have for each of us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.